My name is Jesse Gloyd. I'm here with Josh Forbes. This is the
Buckshot Boogaloo
podcast. We probably should start putting like music or something in, like rising music up.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Yeah,
oh, right. you do have pretty good music.
We have music. Yeah. My rock band plays music.
Yeah.
For our podcast on the podcast.
It's no cool mash cut like assemblage like AM radio thing like the WTF has.
Yeah, well, they also have like it, that to me that sounds like Marc Maron playing his own blues guitar, right?
Yeah, yeah. I love Marc Maron. I love it.
Oh, you mean like the like
lock the gate. Especially, I think even before that there was even like a worse one where it was like, this is a podcast about things you don't. No, I don't know. Whatever. It was like it was crazy. It reminded me a lot of the Tom Likas,
show. I've got such a fascination with Tom Likas. Oh wow!
This is the only do you know it by heart? This is the only talk show not hosted by a right wing black who no, or a convicted felon no. I am your host.
Tom Likas.
It's Slash Friday, everybody.
Dump that bitch. Was
yeah, DTB. It's crazy what you allow yourself to listen to when you don't have other options.
Yeah, it is funny. Well, a lot of these guys, too, are really, really good talkers. I mean, like, no matter what they're talking about, just like the cadence of their voice.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And yeah, just the way they're able to lead someone along for like 4 hours of like pretty engaging stuff. Whatever it is, whether it's a train wreck or what, you know, what have you, as with the case of Tom Likas.
That was an amazing show. I don't know. It's a guilty pleasure, obviously.
Sure.
Super guilty pleasure, but I link it in my head with being stuck in traffic, like on the 210, or the 5, or something.
And then looking if anyone's like actually like adhering to Flash Friday.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, show us your cans. Show us your big dirty cans.
Oh goodness, we should let everyone know that there is no guest this week. It's a state of the pod, which happens every like 4 or 5 episodes by design.
Yep, exactly.
By design.
We have a lot we need to get off our chests.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
And figuratively.
How are you doing, Jesse? How's it been going?
It's been going well. I've been doing quite well. There's not a whole lot going on. I'm shooting a TV show in my garage called Stuck in the Garage, working on a pilot for a reality TV show, for real.
Yeah.
I guess has to stay under wraps. We'll see what happens with that. That's actually kind of fun.
Sounds super
fun. What have you been up to?
Today a lot of stuff happened. I shot a little something with John Ennis, which was a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll see the light of day eventually.
Yeah.
I also...
One-time sort of podcast guest, John
Ennis. Oh, yeah. John was on our podcast. I have we had to delete the podcast, but I still have a copy of the file. So email me at joshforbes@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. We'll be taking calls tonight, too.
Give us a call. in case you don't listen to the entire thing, please follow us on Twitter at Buckcast. I'm at Foshjorbs. Jesse's at Jesse Gloyd.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, email us.
Buckshotboogaloo@gmail.com. Say hi.
Today,
send us flowers.
Today was a pretty crazy day because I shot with John. Before that, I'm sure all our listeners really are interested in this. They probably are. We had a vision specialist come and check out Lincoln today.
Oh yeah, Lincoln is your child,
my 7-month-old baby, who is amazing. And so two big vision. So.
Yeah, how'd that go?
So first of all, to lay it out, I've talked about this before, he has a condition called ocular albinism, which means he's basically an albino, but he has...
It's albinism of the eye?
Albinism of the eye, which just means he has really bad eyes. Good person, bad eyes. But yesterday, we went to the doctor, the eye doctor, and had him checked out.
The one in Costco.
Yeah. That's the only one I'll go to. No, we went to this guy, and I guess he's like a famous guy, supposedly. And, yeah, he, I don't know, the prognosis is fairly good. And he, what did he say? He, one of his eyes is worse than the other. So he's, we're getting glasses for him. Mm-hmm. And so, that was the big thing, is one eye is working stronger than the other. And so if he doesn't use the other one, then he will lose it or something.
Oh, weird.
I don't know.
So if he doesn't, so if he uses a strong one, like that'll take over, sort of?
Kind of, yeah.
And then the other one will become obsolete, so they want to like have special glasses to like balance it.
So it's like, yeah, it's like using. I don't know if one. There's several different ways to do it. Deal with that. Like I know that in some cases, like they use a patch mm-hmm. to make the weak eye work harder. But I think in this case, I think they're just giving him the power of glasses that you need to be able to see better. So like that eye will have more of a chance. Like it'd be more useful, and I don't know.
From what I know about rambunctious infants, wearing glasses is probably mm-hmm. one of their favorite things to do, right?
Yeah. Well, we've trained him with sunglasses, so
okay. Yeah,
he'll be okay, and it's pretty cute, and I'm pretty excited. But yeah, so that was yesterday.
So he'll be like, it's like things are looking cool.
Things are good.
With seeing.
Yeah. And it's interesting too because I don't know. Like obviously, like we're super concerned, and we were talking with the doctor and he was just kind of like a little bit flippant or blowing us off about it. Like he's like, look, like I treat these patients all the time. Like the parents always come to me years later and go, what were we worrying about? This is nothing. It's not a big deal. He's fine. And we're like, well, yeah. What about like bullying and self-esteem? And he's like, if he has low self-esteem, that's your problem or that's your fault.
Your doctor is saying that?
Yeah. It's like, that's weird. Really?
That's why, but he was, I don't know. It's like one of those things that like a really good doctor could maybe get away with. Like, yeah. Is he like big, good doctor? Like, that's kind of like a bummer
thing. Like, yeah, it's like, yes, but he also, his eyes wiggle back and forth all the time. Like, that's, you know, hopefully we can instill a ton of self-esteem into him that he's like the cool guy and like can deal with that.
Owns it, and that's,
like, yeah. I generally have shifty eyes anyway. Like, I can't look at people in the eye, so like, you know, and I, my eyes work fine, so maybe he'll be fine. I don't know. But that was just a weird thing of like, this is your, you know, this is on you.
Like, yeah.
All right. But anyway, so there's that. And then part two is that we had a vision, like an in-home, somebody from LAUSD, the mm-hmm. LA Unified School District.
Sure. Yeah. Getting started early.
Yeah. And there's like a whole program for kids with low vision where they come to your house and like work with your kids. And I don't know, it's funny because she basically was saying, like, he's doing really well and probably doesn't need their services.
Yeah.
Which is funny because it's like, you know, you get in this weird position of, like, I don't want anything to be wrong with my child, but I also want free stuff.
Yeah, you kind of got to fight for yourself.
So you're like, yeah. So it's like, so my wife is like, oh yeah, he can see himself in the mirror, and I'm like, but not too well.
Not too well, yeah.
You know, where she's like, oh no, he's doing, I'm like, nah, like, primarily because I want the free thing.
Well, you go to a doctor and you want to make a point about, you know, like, there's a reason I'm here right now with my child.
Or whatever, right.
You know, but
so it's good. So, but she, you know, she was, I mean, this is a woman who works with a lot of kids with albinism and whatever, mm-hmm. and so far so good. So
how have you guys been doing with that, everything?
Good. I think, good, like, his, especially because his vision has been getting better and better, mm-hmm. I think, and just his, he's developing more and more, you know what I mean? Like, he's grabbing for things and yelling and singing, not singing, but like, going, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
He's written the libretto. Just kidding.
That's new Four Loko.
Yeah.
Spinoff.
But he, I don't know. He's been good, and we've been, you know, it's been good.
I have to tell you, midway through the conversation, I jumped for a second because in the Buck Lair here, there's a window near us, and you can see cars come down the lane and out of the garage, like through the. To the birds of paradise that are right outside the window. And the other night I was hanging out in here and working on some writing, I was playing music or something in here. And I hear what I think is like a possum or something like scratching around. And then I hear like a car door open. And and I don't know what to do, really. It's about 9:30 at night, and I'm thinking, like, oh, is Robin outside, or it's kind of odd. And I approach the garage door, and I pick up a baseball bat just out of, like, maybe, I don't know. This is what you do.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I was thinking. And I open the, as I'm opening the garage door, someone breaks a window right in front of me to a car and then runs off. Like, there's a break-in, literally, that's pretty crazy. Much where your car is parked. So I saw another car slowly come down the lane, and what? I'm a little jumpy. And it was about 9:30 at night, like, lights went off, and it was a little dicey. So there's part of me that was thinking, if there is a break-in, because there's been some break-ins, we'll try and get it on tape.
Good luck to them, because all they would get is, like, a filthy baby, half a baby car seat, and just dribbles of my wife's breast milk.
Hey.
Yeah, well.
And some.
My wife, I don't know if your wife has done this, but you can sell breast milk. Are you aware of this?
No.
Yeah.
She's all dried up, I think. But have you guys sold it?
We tried. So there's these websites called, I don't know, whatever.
It's called.
creepypervertmagnet.com. And sure enough, there's a lot of men who troll the sites and who,
like, it's for, like, a natural purpose. It's for, like, right. a child that has lost its mother.
Yeah, it's like
just on the internet.
I'm sorry, they're in a desert.
It's all infants in desert.
Yeah.
In the desert.
With that's great good. Web connections.
Yeah.
Babies with iPhones. No, it's yeah, you know, it's for, I guess, mothers who you know, can't produce or something, and I don't know. But a lot of it is, you know, that you see these things on there where it's like, you know, it's a man that's like, I demand fresh milk, must not be refrigerated.
It's a man that said, like, yeah, it's a request. Yeah. It's a
I
looking
am a
for
man that drinks breast milk. Please send a picture.
No, I mean, to clarify though, because could you go on there as like is there a log? Could I go on there as like 31-year-old man or 30-year-old and say,
yeah,
like, and say, hey, I like the taste of breast milk.
Yeah.
I would like to buy some from you.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because, like, I don't know, like, can you sell, like, it's just funny, like, what things are legal and what things aren't. Like, I couldn't, like, I couldn't have a cow in my backyard and make cheese without some license, right?
Right, yeah.
like, cheese.
And you can't
get your cheese here.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, is it like on eBay, you can't sell body parts or whatever?
I've heard a big thing about that. Like, I think people also, like, want it to be like this. Well, or organs, like, you can't sell your
right,
organs,
right.
But it's like, well, you might have a lot more organ donors if
right.
you actually opened it up and people that were like, and it's like, well, no, you can't. It's like, well, what's wrong with, like, if someone needs money
right.
and it's like an altruistic, like it has to be like this pure thing. And it's like,
well, that gets in the organ donation thing that gets into, you know, economics and not being fair, like somebody who needs an organ and can't afford it, you know, which you know,
right? But wouldn't you flood the market with more?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like if you opened it up, like, wouldn't
right.
you end
and
up
that's,
then
well,
having
that's
more?
That's the other
like,
side is you get these. You would get. And you probably already have this whole black market or whatever gray market of, you know, poor people selling their organs. You know,
like is probably happening, maybe.
Yeah. Which,
of course it's happening.
It's definitely happening.
It is funny.
Like, just the other night, I woke up in a bathtub full of ice.
But it's like, I don't know. It is funny the things that we get attached to. Because it's like, organs are, I mean, they are vital organs. That's what
yeah.
they're, so they are vital. Like,
right.
we need them, right?
Right.
But there are other things that are like really important. Like, it's like, I don't know, like if you made like a if you were a cat, like someone who made a like you're a cast maker.
Okay.
Like if people with broken legs need casts.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
I could probably
go make a cast.
Yeah.
What's there? Could I just give someone my?
That's how is that different? that is quite different from selling a kidney. But it is funny how how this is, you know, it's a website. The breast milk thing.
Oh, yeah.
And how there's a lot of guys, like, you know, everybody has to dance around the fact that that these people are perverts. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Or not. I mean, maybe.
Or they're just, they enjoy it. There's a.
But it's a fetish.
Yeah.
But it's.
I mean, it has to be on some level. I mean, there can't, but there has to be someone that's genuinely.
Well, what's funny to me is the double-sided false front, where you have the guy saying like, "Oh, I drink this for health purposes. I live in Sherman Oaks." And then you have the other one that's a woman. Like, there are some women who are savvy to this and probably making a lot of money, and like have pretty sexy pictures of themselves, and like, you know, really descriptive words like, you know, fresh frothy milk.
Straight. Shut up.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And so it's just funny because it's like, it's, you know, I mean, I guess that's how the whole sex industry is in general, or, you know, Craigslist dating.
Yeah.
But like these two fake fronts kind of, you know, engaging into with each other when it's like, it's so obvious. Like, it would be so much easier if one guy was like, "I'm a fucking pervert. I like to jerk off with titty milk." And then somebody else like, "I am... you know, a stripper, and I just had a baby, and I want $50."
And it's funny because, yeah, I mean, because you can't say that probably.
No,
like,
no.
You're not allowed. Well, maybe you can. I don't know. Like, but you probably can go through these websites.
Well, I hope,
or whatever.
You know, one day.
One day.
One day we can.
Oh, and you can. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad it's, what is it, like 20 minutes in, and I already talked about jerking off with titty milk. So.
No, it's all right. My students stop listening. I'm just, my goal is to try not to say bad things. I figure if anyone else does, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I feel that, like, for my profession, like, it would be, it's more me just being like a bystander in this and laughing and concocting things. But I can't, like, by who I am, like, as a, like, professional teacher, like,
right.
I can't be Lenny Bruce. Like, the, right. You know, whatever, or like,
yeah.
I'm not saying I'm Lenny Bruce, or whatever. I can't just be like a, like, filthy guy that talks about comedy and makes dirty jokes, because like that's bad for my profession,
right.
As what I do. Like, the two worlds can't
right.
collide. Don't listen to past podcasts, children. This is for sure. Listening.
Isn't it funny? There is a funny thing about language and swearing, where like there aren't a lot of comedians who are like, "Hey, guess what? Saying fuck is fun, and it's a dirty word, and I love saying it."
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody ever does that. They have to do, like, Lenny Bruce had this whole like this big socio-political, like, it has to be so brainy, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you have to have, you know, it's like, no, maybe sometimes it's just fun to talk like a...
It's really fun. And the words, like, all bad, like, every bad word is the most fun to say.
Right.
And to, like, concoct weird, like lines of them together.
Right.
Like, you know, put them in some
yeah.
some form. It's the best. And, but for myself, I like being a teacher. It's so funny, because I think I just get so uptight about stuff, because I don't want to, like, but most of my kids wouldn't care. But it's
right,
like,
right.
You also have to, like, kind of be above reproach, sort
sure,
of, too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It is funny, too, like, on my end as a director or whatever. Like,
you have to.
It's, again, it's like we talked about last week, like, it's a weird compulsion to come in here and do this, and I don't know if it's probably not very beneficial to my career, but like...
It's not beneficial to
right.
your career.
It depends, like, I guess you have, as long as I'm, like, generally witty and somewhat intelligent
yeah.
On a regular basis, I think I'm okay. But, you know, I mean, that's what's interesting, is there's that world of... having an air of mystery, and then there's the new world that we live in, where it's like there's no mystery. You need to flood the market as much as you can with your personality and get people used to you.
It's weird. It's been it's kind of a bummer, and it's also a lot of work too. I mean, like I'll have days where I'm like, and I don't even know. I mean, I'd like to do, you know, I'd like to make jokes for, you know, street cred
sure.
or money or something, and or write things or whatever. But I also like teaching, and I like doing things that are sort of, I don't know, revolutionary with teaching as well.
Yeah.
And teaching's fun, because it allows you to kind of the way the schedule is, and the way I can work things, is I can kind of do both right now, and that's cool. And,
yeah.
and maybe someday I'm doing more one than the other or whatever. But
right.
But there are days where I'll go like, all right, I'm going to like tweet a bunch or take a bunch of silly Instagram pictures and then right. put them on Twitter on my website. And it gets it's draining.
It is.
And then it just kind of gets like lost in the white noise. And it's like, would like maybe you would be louder if you just didn't say anything. like at
maybe,
some point.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't already cracked that bubble, if you aren't Rob Delaney or if you aren't, you know, someone that's got, you know, Nick Thune, you know, whoever it's got, like, a 100,000 Twitter followers and you're not saying anything necessarily like Rob's funny and Nick's funny and Tim Heidecker's funny and you know Neil Hamburger's does his weird things or like all these guys that I like to read their tweets but like they'll make like one great joke like every 10 but they're just flooding the market with like just stuff
constantly. I think those guys are great at just consistently doing their jokes.
Well, that's their job too.
It's funny because Tim is the one guy of that group who kind of I don't know. Like, it's funny because he's the one guy I think who kind of like just allows his personality through, or just says like normal stuff every now and then.
Yeah, that's all.
Which is fun. I mean, which makes sense. I mean, like, because when he came on our podcast, he was just a normal guy. Like, I love the Phillies.
Yeah.
And wasn't a crazy character. But it's ironic because, like, so much of his comedy is about being this other person or whatever. But it's funny. It's hard for me. Like, I almost wish that I could create an alter ego that's just funny guy on Twitter all the time.
But you have to have it attached to Josh Forbes, the director. Like, that's kind of the point.
I mean, it's funny because, I'm not good at brand management or something. But because, like, sometimes I'll just be watching a movie and just be like, this movie sucks. I wish I had a friend next to me to tell this to.
And then Kat comes back.
Then I'll say something on Twitter, and then Kat Solon will write back. And then we'll write back and forth. And then
I guess that's what you do. It's just funny because it feels like the bubble. I don't know. Whenever things get so infiltrated on such like a deep level of whatever it is, it feels like, oh, the bubble's going to burst and something else will happen.
Yeah.
That like maybe you're lucky enough at this day and age, like every couple of years, something will come along that it's like, oh, if you do it early, early and often. I mean, we've been around a couple of people, the Cold War Kids and their music, like when MySpace happened and they made good music and they worked their asses off and they toured and they did everything they needed to, but they were also in the right place at the right time and MySpace was hitting and they really like, it's that kind of outlier sort of thing when they talk about like the Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and all the like the people they're around and but same with Delaney or whoever, like you were talking about like Rob doing like making like oh this Twitter thing on something you're shooting with a little like 3 years ago now or whatever
I agree with that and I also disagree because like for example, if you think of like in filmmaking, every 2 years there's this like wave, or it's probably like every 2 weeks there's this wave of like, oh, look at these people who are using digital cameras and making their own movies, and then I sit around feeling like, oh man, if I got in on the mumblecore game 3 years ago,
right?
Look, I'd be I'd be this huge guy, but it's like, that sort of thing has been happening in waves, like ever since forever. I mean, like ever since.
But this is, I'm more talking about like ways of publicizing yourself, like it just straight on internet publicity,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, yes, there are, and that's also like a scene kind of too. You know what I mean? Like, or something that like kind of catches like a wave of whether it be. In film, like, Cassavetes and his crew, Tarantino and Allison Anders and all that, that whole gang and
But I think whether it's, Twitter or whether it's making films, like, I don't know, at least what I've had to drill in my own head is like, it's all about doing something good consistently.
Yeah.
But the Twitter thing is different because that's, I mean, it's a perfect spot for joke writing.
It really is. It does get trying, and I love trying to write just stupid, dumb jokes, or have a couple beers and then just write like 50 dumb jokes. Yeah. And if nothing more, it makes myself laugh, and then like one or two friends like one thing I say.
Yeah.
And that's really fun and funny to me. But it does get overwhelming, and you look back on Yeah. I mean, because it is like it's just so, and everybody makes jokes. Like,
yeah,
you know, and the more I talk to people, it's like, oh, I like this. I like following this guy because they retweet cool articles.
Yeah.
Like, they just do beneficial things for me. Yeah. And that's who I actually enjoy, you know, following.
It's funny because my mom, I was talking to my mom recently, like, she gives me all this crap for, like, not having, like, my TV isn't plugged into TV. It's just plugged in for Netflix and for Xbox.
Yeah.
And for movies and stuff. And so she gives me all this crap about, like, we have these wars about local news. Or it's a war in my head. Because I think local news is so crazy and, like, dumb. But my mom loves it. So she's like, where do you get your news?
I want to watch some news.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's hilarious because it literally is. It's like,
she's gotten locked into that thing.
Well, you know, like, local news in Denver is like, a puppy fell on the ice.
Yeah.
Somebody's raping people. You know, it's just a list of awful things that I don't need to know about. But so she's like, where do you get your news? And it's like, I feel like I'm a fairly informed person. And it is weird because it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I don't know, like, Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, on my, you know, when I open my webpage or my Safari, like, I have an iGoogle thing that has, like, New York Times updates and some other things. So it's like, I guess that's my news, like, or going to Reddit or something, like.
Well, I look at that with, like, with teaching and kids and stuff, and it's like, we really are at a point where we're learning and developing like a new language, you know, like, you had people looking at symbols for a long time and that spoke to people. And then you had, you know, people started like writing things, but most of the world was like illiterate, as we would say. But they could like recite whole like epic poems.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't read what was there, but they could hear something from someone, and then tell it back to someone else, which no one can do here in this world anymore.
Right, but I can then recite the entire plot line or whatever to Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, but even just totally. But then you have like the printing press comes along, and then people all of a sudden move to read, and there's nothing, and then all of a sudden it's like now, you know, and then you have television and moving pictures, and everyone starts to think, because then you have this generation of people who, whether it be, I don't know, like ADHD or these things that are kind of coming up, to me it almost feels like a mental evolution of like, well, it's ADHD is not, you know, or whatever you want to call it, is almost more a result of brains trying to like adapt to like a new form of stimulation, and that's a new form of stimulation, but a new form of like ingesting information and dealing with
it. That is definitely,
and that's as a teacher now, like, you have to not just cater to that, but like embrace it, like that's what we're doing if you want kids to be intelligent.
That is a funny thing, like, you know, technology has evolved so much faster than humans can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how, I mean, if you look at the model of evolution of, like, you know, thousands and millions of years of, like, you know, certain brain types surviving and certain brains dying, like, I don't know how that's going to work, like, because that's the problem with humans and evolution in general right now, is that, like, staying healthy and living is, like, pretty easy to do, and procreating is pretty easy to do, so, like, that's right.
Flash Friday.
That's right. So, I don't know, it'll be interesting, man. Couple thousand years, we'll see.
all that interesting stuff. But you want a good world for your children's children?
You better get on Twitter now, man. But it's anxiety creating for me. Like, I don't know. Like, it's. Do you think that, I don't know, I'm thinking of like Hemingway or something. Like, do you think Hemingway could have written as great of books as he did, if he knew every 5 minutes, like, what his competitors were doing, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting, because just the jealousy and the, like...
And maybe he did, because he was, like, part of, you know, like...
A social, but he was also, I mean, he was also a, you know, like the man, you know, ego was it was yeah. a, and he's a good writer and everything, fantastic, but yeah, I mean, I imagine like ego, I think lights fires under some people and also causes some to
drown.
But F. Scott Fitzgerald did. Well, his was more, you know, he was a raging alcoholic and had a horrible marriage.
Yeah.
Does that get to you? Because you're like looking at people's things and going like, ah, this person's doing this.
Yeah, I have to. I'm trying to learn to shut it off. And to just focus on doing the best thing I can do at the time. I don't know. Like I hope that's good enough. But it's tough because it's like every day, like 5 times a day, like all these amazing music videos will pop up on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, just these things that I'm like, gosh, man, I wish I had made that.
Well, and you know, some people are probably saying that about the stuff you're doing.
I hope so.
Because, like, you're doing stuff. You know, it's not like you're not doing stuff.
Like, and that's, yeah. That is a funny thing that, like, I'll take a step back and look at the stuff that I do, and I'll try and put myself in the position of another person, and then I'll be like, oh, I guess I could get jealous of myself. And then I realize, like, the only person who could really get jealous of myself is myself.
Wait, you're computer.
like the things that I've accomplished are things that not a lot of people would like really care about. Like,
maybe
some people would.
I don't know. I mean, I think of myself in like when I was in college. If I saw someone with like your resume of things that you've done, I would be like, oh man,
maybe. Okay, well, cool. You know, but it's like you know, like shooting something with John Ennis today, where I'm like, you know, oh man, I'm so excited about that. Like John Ennis is so funny and he's so great.
Oh yeah, no.
But it's that sort of, you know, when you step back and like try to explain it to your mom situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey mom, I just did this thing with this guy. And it's like, who? And it's like, oh, the only other kind of person I know who'd be excited about this is myself.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, there is something to that though of like, I mean, John Ennis is... the perfect example. If I could be, you know, I got to play music with him at a show, and he came into the podcast, and he was really cool and really nice. And I remember just watching Mr. Show on repeat.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 21, and existing off of Miller High Life, and you know, in like a small dirty back apartment.
Yeah.
And substitute teaching, and this was like Mecca, you know, in a DVD box, and he was one of these people, a part of this thing, and
right.
And now I can like give him a call if
right.
I wanted
to,
and say, hey, what's up? I want to get coffee.
Yeah,
and at the time, I think there's part of me that was like, oh, if that's all you could do, you know, is hang out with like that, like I had these things of like, oh, if I could only da da da, you know,
yeah,
then like that would be just cool enough.
Yeah.
You know, I guess there is like a lag, because then you start seeing like people you know who are like in successful bands or who are, you know, making movies, or it's like, oh, wait, well, that can be done too.
Right.
And so you're the bar of, I don't know, the bar of success, I guess, goes up, and, you know, either you go into it hardcore and you have that like mentality, or you know, go the dude style and just kind of check out. And I don't know if that was good.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if like, which was better. Like,
yeah, I think work wise, it's important. I don't know. I think it's both. It's like, you need to kind of have your antenna out, but then you need to learn to like shut it off so you can get stuff done, I guess.
So Josh, really quick, not really quick, we'll go half hour. Would you like another beverage?
I'm good with it. How far into it?
We're a half hour. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We're cruising.
This has been a pretty good podcast.
This is fun. This is a really good podcast. I don't think we need any more guests.
No, I don't. I think you're right.
We really quickly before we get
lock
into
the
it,
gates.
Lock those gates. Flash those Fridays. No, having guests is really fun, but it makes me really apprehensive like all day long. And there was we had a guest that was going to come in here. It's no secret because he's actually coming back. Matt Bronger was going to come in tonight and had a prior engagement come up that he had to shift things around. But he's like one of those guys. I'm like, oh, Matt Bronger is like a really good comedian. Like getting ready for this, I was like watching like him on David Letterman.
Right.
And being like, wow, you've been on David Letterman. It's just been on more than once. But it's like, you've been there. Like, you've been on David Letterman. That's, I mean, I want to talk to you about that. Like, and he got called over to the table.
Oh, really?
Or whatever. Yeah. I don't know that David Letterman does that much. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
That was a very important thing on Johnny Carson.
But yeah, I don't know. And I think it's probably
similar.
I think Letterman probably knows that. And so, like, all these things where I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. But then I get kind of nervous at all day at school of like, you know, he's a normal guy. I've seen him around town a little bit. Yeah. Like, you know, but I've never actually. And I like his cry. He's good at what he does. But I think we've had some fun guests on and things, and you get really nervous and then start doing, as we did with like Nick Thune when he was here, we did our like rapid round table of like, which is fun and cool, but all over the place. And I think whenever I listen to a podcast, the things that really stand out are people that have good conversations.
That's something that I've been thinking about, like with this podcast, like what do I like about other podcasts, I guess? So I listen to a bunch. And, you know, going back to that whole idea of, like, the white noise of, like, there's just so much information really out there. And there's so much. I don't know. What I hope would happen is that people, excuse me, that people would love listening to me clear my throat. I don't know. What I would hope that would happen is, A, people, like, are thrilled by our guests or like our interest, you know, even though they're probably people who get around to other podcasts, like it still is interesting, especially for a comedy nerd to kind of like, it's like collect them all, you know, it's like, ooh, let's listen to all the Nick Thune appearances or something.
Sure.
There's that. But then above, you know, above and beyond that is like, I hope it's, you know, people get interested in us as characters or people, or our points of view. It's not from it's probably from an egotistical point of view of like, oh, I'm an important person. But I think just in terms of like the medium, like that's what I am attracted to is like, I mean, I think that's what Marc Maron is so great at is like being open and honest and just being himself.
Yeah. Well, and just the nature of what this is pretty fun because it is.
Yeah.
We're like, we've got this mic here and it'll sound like any other, you can just do it. But I want to talk to you about directing actually. We should probably do a full one of these times. But so Josh, everyone, as everyone knows, directs things. And I want to pick your brain cause I've got this TV show. I keep saying I'm starting in my garage, which I'm going to start at some point. Yeah. So when did you started directing when? Like in
I guess I would say like in junior high or something like that. I wish that I could say that I had like the Steven Spielberg like 8mm thing of like, oh, I had a camera and I ran around. Like there's probably like 5 or 6 short little films that I made.
It's like High 8.
High 8, exactly. On VHS. Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I dabbled in stuff like that. It's interesting because my uncle always worked for like an audiovisual company. And I feel so bad because I should have taken more advantage of that. Like I did periodically like...
For the podcast listeners, your uncle is Tony Scott.
Yeah, my uncle's Tony Scott. He's Tony Hawk, actually.
Tony Hawk Scott.
That's weird. That's the second time Tony Scott's come up in conversation.
I think it's funny because he's like the creepy younger brother or older. I'm not sure of Ridley Scott. He's like the he's like wildly successful.
So it's funny because I was thinking of my uncle. I was just thinking about my uncle the other day because my birthday was this last weekend. Mm-hmm. And my wife got me this DVD set. It's a Coen Brothers DVD set, like 4 DVD, like Blu-ray Coen Brothers movies. And one of them is Miller's Crossing. And she's like, oh, if I haven't seen that, have you seen that? I'm like, yeah, I saw it in junior high. And what it was is that, like, I did a report, or my uncle, I did a report about gangsters. So my uncle loaned me his VCR. He had a VCR to VCR editing system.
Wow.
And it must have been him who had suggested Miller's Crossing. Like, how else would I have that movie? But I had that, and I had The Untouchables, and I had maybe The Godfather. I don't know.
So good.
A handful of these like mobster movies.
Yeah.
And I remember I edited together like a little montage that I played in school.
That's really cool.
It was like just incredibly violent. It was just the most violent moment.
For sure.
Like in Miller's Crossing when he's like, you know, the guy's just laughing in his bathrobe, like just shooting him out. Like that's what I showed to my junior high. So that's short story made long. So I've always been kind of making things like that, or wanting to shoot stuff like that. But it wasn't even, I mean, I guess even through high school, I worked on, we had like a closed circuit TV station in our high school. Did you have that?
Yeah. My aspirations were for the cable access station. I hung out there a lot. Mm. Like I wanted to go the step above.
Yeah. I did a little bit of stuff for that. It was called BCTN, Bear Creek Television News.
That's pretty cool.
And it was a little bit of half and half. Like I would do stuff behind the camera, and then sometimes I would do stuff on camera. But I was still jealous. Like I was so jealous. There was a guy named I think it was a guy named Kamel. Was that his name? I think it was Kamal or something like that.
Okay.
I'm blanking. But it was a guy who did this. He did these things called Eco Man. He was an Indian guy, obviously. But he had these segments called Eco Man. It was like these kind of little action movie things where little Eco Man, you know, would pop out of the trash can if you littered, and he would like, you know, wrestle you to the ground and grab your trash and recycle it or whatever. I just remember it's interesting. I haven't even thought about that in so long, but like, I think my entire life would be different if I had been the one who made Eco Man. I think I would probably just stop and be done.
Like, because that would have been the pinnacle. Like, it was popular for...
Yeah, I feel like my entire life I've been wanting to make Eco Man.
That's fascinating. is your aesthetic, like have some Eco Man...
I wish. No, I mean, his stuff was very, like, Robert Rodriguez. Like, speaking of, can I just throw this out really quickly?
Yeah.
This is a side note. I'm so
really sorry. Keep that thought. When we were talking about our wife thing, about like you know, like they won't listen and this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I did get a tweet. I think I retweeted it. Some guy was like I listened.
Oh,
I was like,
that's nice.
Thank you, guy.
Thanks. Oh yeah.
So now Josh has something important to say. So
I was thinking,
if you listen to this, tweet it.
I was thinking before this of just telling like really long stories about having sex with strange women. just as a way of like whatever, which has not happened, but as a way of like vindicating the fact that like my wife is not listening to this. I got a big fight about that too.
About saying that, did she listen or something?
No, she doesn't listen. But I got really bummed out last week and like talked to her about it.
I tried to tell Robin about it, and I don't think she was listening to what I was saying.
She's like, I'm not going to listen to your podcast. I don't even listen to you now.
and it was one of those things where it was like she was like busy with like the kid or something.
Yeah.
And she's just – I love my wife, but she's a bad – like I'll be like, Robin. Like she's very like one track at times. And that's every one of those like one-sided one-track conversations about we made a bet that you wouldn't listen to the podcast. She heard it, and I think I just left it like so. All right, week two.
It's interesting. I feel like I've come to terms. This last week has been about being okay with that or whatever. We can go get
yeah, that's a rabbit.
No, but the Robert Rodriguez thing. So fucking mad right now
about Robert Rodriguez.
So another director at my company, Ryan Reichenfeld, great guy.
I can bleep that out.
No, you can leave it right here. And I'm only mad just because I'm mad that the rest of the world doesn't care about my feelings at every given moment, always. All
right.
Which?
Ryan, you can call in. Call in the buck line.
So Ryan did a video for a group or something called RAC. I don't know what the hell that means. I think it's Rent-A-Center. Just kidding.
For all those giant centers.
Yeah.
Do you need a center?
Yeah. Yeah. I need a sign. No, okay, so he did.
Are you holding a festival?
Yeah. Rent a town square. Okay, so he did a video for this band called RAC, and he did it this last weekend. my birthday weekend. Mm. And I guess the band is friends with Rose McGowan.
Oh, yeah, she's groovy.
So he got Rose McGowan in the video.
Oh, cool.
And not that everybody should just tell me things, but like it just is, it's upsetting to be like, because I asked him like, oh, what do you have to do? Like, what's the shoot like? And he's like, oh, it's about a cowboy riding around downtown. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, it's a night shoot. I'm not going to come visit. Like, why would I? You know, yeah, like, you know, I mean, I guess I would because it would be fun. I want to support my friend. But if he threw on top, oh, Rose McGowan's going to be there.
Yeah, he might.
The girl with the machine gun leg from Planet Terror. But then on top of that, Robert Rodriguez came and hung out for the entire shoot.
Because she broke up his marriage.
Yeah, because she's a homewrecker. And, but I was trying to explain to people in my office, I'm like, guys, like, Robert Rodriguez is, like, one of my top five directors.
He's so fun. He really is really fun. Yeah. That whole book, I had some kids read that book last year.
But that was a huge,
That's a bummer.
Yeah, I've met him before, and he was a little bit standoffish.
He wasn't your best friend?
He was not my
best friend. He wasn't your best friend?
He wasn't immediately my best friend. But it's just, yeah, I mean, what would I do? Just gush all over him.
Because he's one of those guys that probably gets that from a lot of film nerd guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, more than Mo. Like,
oh, great.
I don't know. Tony Scott probably does not get approached by, film geeks all the time going, Tony Scott!
Domino and Man on Fire.
Your Apple commercial.
Right. But no, that was the thing is like I got really upset about that. I don't know if that's really upset, but
That's a bummer.
I want to hang out with him.
Yeah,
it's like
someone saying like Bob Dylan came by the studio today.
Right, and it's funny too because it's like it's not because it's a famous quote unquote famous director. It's one of my directors.
Yeah,
because I was sitting like I was seething about it like, and I was. I was watching a Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, David Fincher commentary.
Oh, is that good?
We can talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But I was listening to the commentary and I was thinking like, oh, if somebody said, "Ooh, David Fincher showed up," I would probably not care. I don't know why. I like his movies, but like, he's not a guy who I'd be like, oh my god, I gotta go talk to him.
Yeah.
But Robert Rodriguez is one of those guys. Because I feel, I don't know, like I love the Grindhouse movies. Like I love everything he's ever done.
Yeah. No. And, even Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
Yeah. And I want to talk with him. I don't know. That's partially why I started
the fact that he had his kid go write that with him. It's also super cool.
But I think that's partially why I like doing the movie podcast with Charles. Because it's like, you'd think that there would be so many people in this town who just love movies or crazy movies or talking shitty movies or whatever. There's not. There's not a lot of people. And Charles is one of those guys. And I think that's why Quentin...
You need to have... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I got a guy for the podcast.
Quentin and Robert Rodriguez and Eli Roth like became friends. It's because they can tolerate each other talking about Lucio Fulci and, Dario Argento and stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny because, for my birthday, our good friend Mike Siech, who was on the podcast. Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast.
He got me something for my birthday, which is a Lucio Fulci bobblehead from the film really cool. Cat in the Brain. And, I had put a thing out on Facebook, please somebody buy this for me.
That's awesome.
And it's a limited edition. Lucio Fulci is this Italian director who's made he made a movie, The Beyond and, House by the Cemetery and, City of the Dead and, Zombie 2, obviously.
Of course. That's what he does.
What else did he make? I don't know. Anyway, he's this guy that I love. He's a really kind of bad movie maker. But he made, somebody made this, bobblehead figurine of this dopey Italian guy. And I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And I looked at the bottom, and it was of a series of 1,000, this is number 200. And it's
that's really cool, actually. That's really fun.
Mike was joking, Really? Who the other 199 people who bought this? But for me, I'm like, look, this is a Lucio Fulci doll. Like, why is there only 1,000? Like, you need, I was so like, somebody's got to buy this for me, or I got to buy it for myself. Like, or this is going to disappear. Like, because this is such a popular thing. But, it's not. So that's why I wanted Robert Rodriguez around. So I wanted to sit and talk with him about Lucio Fulci. I don't know. I I don't know if that helps.
No, that's good. That was good. I had like three things I want to talk about. Cameron Stalins, I don't know if you know Cameron. I often thought Cameron's last name was Stallone or Stallones.
Okay.
My whole life, and Cameron was always nice enough to not correct me. But he's in a like cool psychedelic heavy droney chanty rock band outfit called Sun Ra.
Okay.
He went like to Viola.
Based on Sun Ra.
Yeah. And went to Viola. But he works at the Academy, or did for a long time, like doing like film restoration.
Yeah.
He's just a super film geek.
Mm-hmm.
Does like has a good following in psychedelic, weird, cool music, okay. And will geek out on lots of good things. Like,
okay,
we'll just
good.
Go
yeah,
down. Like, I want
to
get on our podcast. I emailed him earlier in the week and said, you should come on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then we had this, but actually, this one's really fun. It's nice just chatting. We need these every so often, but we should get him on in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Either
like,
here or both, we could do a back to backer or something.
Yeah. Well, there's a great guy. He might be listening. A guy named Jason Gillis. Hey, Jason.
What's up, Gilly?
What's up, bro? Who I'm friends with on Facebook now, and it was a guy who basically, like, I met because we were sitting next to each other during the New Beverly Horror Marathon.
Oh, fun.
And it was like, it became readily apparent at a certain point where, like, we're the two guys sitting next to each other. Like, my friends left, and then his friends left too. So we're, like, the two guys with, like, dorky, you know, frames who are about this, you know, same age, and we're like, oh. And so, like, we ended up striking up a conversation and, like, become friends on Twitter and or
that's
Facebook
fun.
And stuff. But it's solely based on the fact that, like, we both really love, I don't know, really bad space movies.
It's funny because one of these days I will quiz you about directing, but this is kind of fun talking about.
Sorry.
Like I love movies and film and old movies and weird movies and stuff, but, like, music is more of like my Achilles heel, and like obscure music. And it was fun, like, hanging out with like Matt Dwyer when he came by here, because he's similar in that way. And he gave me a bunch of cool, like, old Bunny Berrigan jazz music, and like Woody Allen's used him a lot. And a lot of the people that I enjoy and that I'm interested in, like, it's not like people get together in a communal room and listen to old
right.
music, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's something you, like, you know, you sit in a garage and, like, you know, put your headphones on or go for a walk or put on the record player or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. I just saw this documentary called I Need That Record, I think it's what it's called, on Netflix Instant, and it's about the demise of record stores, like local record stores. And what it made me think of is, like, oh shit, like, because of downloading, you know, MP3s and all that stuff, you don't have these places where you can just sit, or not sit, but, like, go and be in a place of music.
Well, whether it be a record or even, you know, like, there was the Borders Music in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in Ventura. And, twice a month we would drive, you know, the half hour or whatever up to Santa Barbara.
Right.
And just sit, like, just, and I can't relive that. That's a memory from my youth that I cannot relive, you know, from my junior
really
high school
sad.
Days,
like,
where I could stand and be like, and they gave you, it's not like you could choose anything. You got only what was there. You got
six
CDs in that section.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, what's in the, like, swing jazz section?
Right.
What's in the new music section? What's in the, and you just sat and you listened to, like, five records and you kind of, like,
right.
went through. And that, like, restrained choice was kind of fun. Like, now everything's open.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it goes back to that thing we were talking about before about, like, oh, with Twitter and all this stuff, like, there's just all this information flooding you all the time, like, oh, all these great bands, like, why am I not listening to this? Yeah, at that time, it was like, there's six things, you know, four were R&B,
mm-hmm.
one was Weezer, and one was a Frank Black album. And, like, those are the two you listen to.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
But the downfall of music places, and then there's also the downfall of the local video store.
Yeah.
And obviously...
We should do a live podcast with Josh taking us through.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun. Through
Cinefile.
Got this stupid mic that I bought for like $50.
Yeah, let's do it.
We should use it around Cinefile.
I think it'd be, you know, and that's really fun. That's what's so impressive to me about Josh and his, you know, desire to stay working there. Like, while I was watching that documentary about record stores, it's like, oh my gosh, this is definitely why Josh still has a, you know, is a successful actor, but still has a job at a video store. Because it's so much fun, and it's great. It's a place of movies, like a place. Because there isn't that anymore.
No,
it's like with music. Like I was talking my wife's ear off, saying like, oh, I wish they had bars where you could just go and sit in a room and they have all these records and you can just listen to them. And she's like, that would probably not work. You know?
Well, it's funny because I think though. I know the model of music has somewhat become a thing of like your album is or your music video is a thing that helps you go tour because that's where you make your money.
Yeah,
it's just going on the road, you know, or even Adam Carolla, you know, who people like they make a good living because they do this thing and then they go on the road with it. And I think maybe with film or maybe with whatever it might be, like there's a hidden market for like a really cool, like interactive, like with the amount of technology and then on your feet kind of I think there's probably something if someone is really cool and knows what to do for like a modern day avant-garde fun, cool version of like, the old like vaudevillian variety show that travels and tours, but then incorporates like film into it or music, you know, because I think people do like, thirst for that communal thing like that will always be there, I think.
That's why I love the New Beverly so much. I was talking with this girl Julia who I was trying to get her on the podcast last minute. She's doing a documentary about the New Beverly.
Oh, you talked about this.
She's doing this Kickstarter thing and just like she couldn't do the podcast because she's like, tomorrow's the deadline for the Kickstarter or something. But I mean, her whole thing about the New Beverly is completely true. It's like, this is the place where you can go and you can be whoever you want to, not whoever you want to be. That's weird.
Come in, drink breast milk.
Right. Yeah. No, but the New Bev is a place where, you know, I mean, we're all film nerds show up. You're like, sure, it's all like guys in their 30s wearing hoodies, like with big beer guts and beards and shit or whatever. But like, it's a place where you go and you watch these movies and then like you sit in the lobby and you talk about it. And that sort of thing is going away. And like, that's what her documentary I think is about, is like, you know, it's kind of, this is something that needs to keep going. But there isn't that for music, like especially not for just listening to music.
Yeah, like a communal music listening place. I mean, because you can't capture, and maybe music's just a solitary thing. I don't know. Like maybe you know, listening to a record or something. But there was always something, especially with like a record. And I know it gets kind of romanticized and
right.
In ways that are probably kind of stupid a lot of the times. But there is something like I'll listen to a full record more than I will, obviously, like, you know, my iPod, because I just click through.
Yeah.
I'll go for a jog on the rare case. I go for a jog and I'll just click through. Like, I won't even listen to one. I'll just like listen to like 30 seconds and click.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I got no.
Well, I just, something similar happened to me recently and I'm glad you brought it up.
Thanks.
I've been reading this book called Cryptonomicon by this guy, Neal Stephenson.
That's fun.
It's a huge
book. He's a snow cloud or whatever.
Yeah, snow crash
guy. Yeah.
It's like a 1,000-page book or whatever. It's this huge.
All those guys. Less is More does not play into like the like
more,
George R. R. Martin.
Right.
like there's no Less is More. There's no
right.
Come in late, leave early is not something that they adhere to.
It's kind of like this podcast, the specific one
we're this doing. One. We haven't reached an hour yet.
But anyway, so I've been struggling with this book, and it's like part of why I've been struggling. It's because it's kind of boring. Well, it's not boring. It's just it's disjointed. It's like 9 different books at once. But the big thing is like my kid was born. Like I was, you know, a quarter of the way done, and like my kid got born. He done got born. And it's hard to you can't read books in bed when your baby is sleeping in your room.
Yeah.
Because if you turn the light on, the baby will wake up, and then you are fucked. So I decided, I'm definitely not going to buy the books. I already own the book, so I'm going to figure out how to get it illegally and then put it on my iPhone.
Oh, the audiobook.
It was all this converting, like, converted into an EPUB, whatever. So, anyway, all that being said, I converted it to an iBook, and I've been reading it. The other thing, too, is, like, knowing that my kid has low vision and, like, will probably have to read books on an iPad, and in the future, that's what everybody will do. It was kind of an experiment, like, oh, what is this experience going to be like, reading a book on this thing? So, I sit down, I'm reading this thing, and I started last night, and I felt like I was doing pretty good, but I realized, in this thing called a book is also my email and Facebook and Twitter and the train yard game that I love and porn and whatever. Like
everything is there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm never going to get to the book. I'm never going to read this iBook unless I, like, delete everything else off my computer. So it's the same thing. It's the analog form of a book. And maybe that's just for our brains now and the kids in the future.
Maybe, but maybe there's something wrong with it. I don't know. But it's so funny, like, watching, Boardwalk Empire. And it's such a cliche thing. And I'm a little annoyed that they throw this type of thing in there. But it's like the, like, you know, bootlegging, they have the, like, uptight, you know, temperance movement, you know, people that are like, the world today. And it's oh, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. It's like today is like then. And
right.
It's like, but it's also kind of true. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things where new thing is going to be the death of us. It's civil. Yeah. No, it's like,
and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out or whatever. But, like, it's a fascinating, I guess, I forgot I had some thing I was going on with that.
Yeah, yeah, it's an evolution of technology and stuff, and I don't know.
I think even with just with reading and reading and writing and arithmetic.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a good part to stop at since I'm literally drawing a total blank in my brain on what I was going to talk about with this piece here.
It's difficult to,
We were going so good. It's like you're like climbing a mountain and you look straight down and you're like, wow, we got deep into this. It's been a really good talk.
I'm upset with myself and frustrated that like I can't like push through like that I don't have.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, yeah. Distractions coming.
Yeah, yeah. That I can't push away the distractions and just read this because like when I got into it, it was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And I'm actually because I'm reading just a smaller amount of words, it's. You know, I'm kind of focusing more on just the part that I'm reading. I'm not like skimming through and stuff.
Oh, lists. That's where I was going. I started to form myself. I think it was actually I've always liked lists, but then listening to a Greg Fitzsimmons podcast with Rob Corddry. And I think he's big on lists. He's a list
Greg
guy.
Is or Rob is?
Rob is, I think.
Yeah, I could see that.
And like I don't know what he was doing with them, but from what I gathered, I tried to make my like thing this where I made these like I've got all these like lists, but then I've got like a daily list that I try and knock things out of.
Yeah, yeah.
And And some things, like, I've started setting, like, timers for myself.
Yeah.
And it was really hard.
Yeah.
And it still is.
Yeah.
But, like, now it's become, like, this sort of, like, weird train thing where, like, I've noticed, but I'm not getting a lot done. But I feel more happy at the end of a day.
Yeah.
Because I can then, like, if I'm like, oh, what did I do today? I can go back to my list and, like, go, like, oh, I clicked that off.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
And that off. And that off. And that off. And that off.
Yeah.
And I don't, I feel I can, like, look back at accomplishment. It's so funny how the more screwed up life makes us, we have to, like, play games to, like, make us comfortable.
Yeah,
with, like,
I think it's
the daily.
It's like your advanced
damnation of us as people going to slowly marching toward death.
Yeah, well, there's that too. But it's like two different parts of your brain. Like, the advanced part of your brain has to then convince the lizard brain, like, oh no, look, you're accomplishing things. This is okay.
Yeah.
But it is. I don't know. It something I've been dealing with recently is just. Getting so wrapped up in those lists, and then I've just realized recently, like, the list is never going away. I'm never gonna clear it off.
Daily lists. You just do it. Little things.
Yeah, but I put too much on my daily list.
No, just do like make it a generic thing. So, like, one of mine is, like, creative. Have I done something creative?
Oh, sure. That's not bad.
Did I write? It was writing. Then it's like, sure, oh no, no, no. Sure. It's like, well, maybe I want to play piano. It's like, did I play piano tonight? I did. That's cool.
Oh, that's pretty good.
You know, or, you know, like child enrichment fun is one.
Oh.
So, like, today I clicked it off because I took Jack to get a haircut.
Yeah.
And in my head, I wasn't going to click it. And I'm like, wait, if I went with my dad when I was 4 to get a haircut,
that's a
cool
memory.
Mexican barber from the 50s that, like, slicks his hair all crazy.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
where was this at?
It's right next to the CVS.
At Sweeney Todd's?
No. This guy's like... This is like barber, old okay. barber guy that like
Sweeney Todd is like an old school barber reenactment place.
This is just like a Mexican dude that's been here forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and he does, like, he even with Jack, he'll take straight razor around his, like, ear.
Ah, that's neat.
it's gnarly. It's pretty cool. And he, like, slicks his hair too, like, at the end of it and stuff.
Well, it's funny because my wife's dad.
So it's really quick. Reed, I've got one for social networking because I still want to try and it makes it way less cool to be like, I can click off my main jokes on Twitter.
Right.
Tracking my diet because I'm trying to, like, lose weight. So, thanks. There's a grocery thing. Oh, school prep.
You
clean.
Have a lot of things knocked off there.
Today was a good day. Today was a good day. It was
Did
a
you
testing.
Have to use your AK?
What's that?
Did you have to use your AK? That's... From an Ice Cube song.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything on Twitter. I didn't read. I didn't track my diet. But then I got other stuff. I got all these things. Like,
this is
scripts,
on that paperless.
So I got scripts, ideas. I got, this is great for bot. Passwords.
Okay. Good Lord. That's too many.
But the one that I actually do, this is all daily. Like stuff.
Can you,
like something possible. This
can,
is
you, a, can you go from the other list and then send it to daily?
If I want to, but I try and keep daily, like, 10 things.
Okay.
10 things I'm, like, in, out.
Yeah.
Like,
that's something, and it's, I was talking with my therapist about that, and she's like, I feel like ever since I started going to therapy, I was like, oh, maybe I kind of need, like, a life coach, like, behavioral modification, like.
But I don't get bummed out if I don't get it all done. That's
right,
always
right.
been my thing. It's like, I don't get it done, and then I freak out, and then I spend, like, 3 weeks, like, eating a box of Goldfish crackers a night, you know, and just, you know, and drinking too much beer and whatever, you know, like, and then it's like, no, I'm going to change. And it's like, no, be okay with what you do.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, I felt like I needed a therapist who just helped me with that shit. Like, how to exist as an adult human being and make your list. And just like this last Thursday, she was like, oh, maybe I could help you make these lists and stuff. And it was like, yes, thank you.
I've seen programming.
I've been here for 2 years. And this is like, what we were just talking about, like, how much I, like, hate my dad or whatever. Like, no, I need.
You seem to get, but now you're a dad. You have to, like.
Yeah, I am a dad. And I need to know, how to make lists and how to divide up my day. And, like, yeah, that's nice. Like, do a nice child enrichment thing. That's good.
So it's something
creative.
It's I don't know how productive it is. Like, kind of, but it makes me less stressed out every day.
That's good.
Or for a couple last 2 weeks.
But it is crazy too when you, not to get dark, but when you really step back on a cosmic level.
So true.
And look at, I mean, what are we? What do we do?
Right.
Like the greatest filmmaker in America. If you go to India and you say whatever, like, hey, do you know David Fincher, Quentin Tarantino? They'd be like, what? No.
They'd be like, is that food you'll give me right now?
Right. Yeah, and they cry.
Is that a lovely dish?
Yeah. Is that a breast milk website?
No, it's true, and not even that. Just.
Or just in time, or you know.
Just in time, like, why am I? I mean, like, I think about this with this reality show that we're doing, and I know that if it goes down, and I don't want to shoot myself in the head, but that's going to be listening still now, an hour and 10 minutes in, but. If it goes down, my hours in life will increase.
Yeah,
like I get out at 3:30 every day, and I've got a steady job, and I'm doing something that I know affects people. Like,
yeah.
it's not super cool. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not like making jokes and getting paid lots of money doing it.
Right.
But I've got a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I think at some point, the people with a lot of time beat the people that don't have a lot of time.
Sure, yeah.
You know, because that's like, and it's like, what, like, whatever the, like, the grand scheme of things is, you know, and all, like, everything that's like wrapped up in that, the more and more I'm like, man, if I actually got something cool or creative or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a very rare situation to actually get something creative that you are also like totally buying into yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, you could say like, oh, cool, I'm doing film. And it's like, you end up doing like, 20 right. Dorito spots right. or
shark to puss in the lane. Actually, that would be pretty
good. That'd be, you'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
you know, or you know, like TJ Maxx commercials or something.
Right.
And it's like you'd make $100,000 a year because you create a great TJ Maxx campaign or something.
Girls walking through a park.
Yeah. But that would be a super bummer too. It's not like, you know, like,
I think that's another part of what I've been realizing about myself is I'm never going to be satisfied with where I am, no matter what. Like, if I, you know, I mean, that's just in my makeup. Like, if I win an Academy Award. So, that being said and known, like, I have to realize, okay, well, maybe I need a different way to make myself happy. And a way of, I don't know, of enjoying what I'm doing. You know, enjoying this podcast right now.
Yeah, it's a good podcast.
It's funny, back to John Ennis, he was telling me something really interesting where... he was in charge of a group of young filmmakers came into LA, and he was working for Warner Brothers, and they were doing a series of web shows. And I guess he got up in front of everybody and was like, essentially said like, look, I know you, and like everybody was really jealous about the other teams that were making these web shows. And he's like, look, like, this, you know, this isn't about Warner Brothers. Like, I think he says something like, don't bite the hand that feeds you, bite their arm and eat the shoulder off too. Which is just funny. But he's like, look around you, look at the people who you're around. These are the people, like, this is what it's about. These people that you're in this with, you know, at the same time, these are the ones who, once the deal with Warner Brothers goes away, you're going to still be hanging out with and be looking to for comfort and for friendship and whatever. And I don't know, like, John told me that story today, and it was like, yeah, like, that's...
Was he a life coach for Warner Brothers?
Kind of. He's like, that's kind of... He's like, that's probably why I don't work for Warner Brothers anymore. I think it was just like, he's a comedy guy. These guys are all doing comedy web series. Yeah. But I think, but John, like, what I love about John, is his... I don't know, kind of zen. I mean, like, he's working his life out. But he, you know, has this sort of zen attitude of, like, look at the people around you. You know, that's what it's about. And just being happy with those people and happy with the work that you do every day.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
That, I think my wife is calling.
Yeah, I think my wife is not calling.
Oh.
She's not listening.
Yeah, no.
And that's okay, because I'm in a better place.
It's a nice freedom. It's a weird freedom. I was talking to, we can talk about this on the podcast. All right, they're calling.
No.
Well, no. For me, I think I've always wanted that, or I would bring that up in an argument or something like, you know, like, oh, you don't like my screenplays or this or that, or like, you know, like you're not.
Oh, that freedom.
But then it's like, well, the other side of it is someone who's just like always up in your business about your business.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could see that over time, like being a little more like lots of creative, like, you should do this instead of this.
Right.
And like, oh, you're not really this fully this person. You should be this person. As opposed to like, oh, do your thing. I'll give you time. Why do you like, because I think about this a lot. And we should talk off. We'll talk off air.
Okay.
Why
hey, call? Everybody. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
We got t-shirts on the website. If you email Josh or myself, we'll mail you a t-shirt. If you emailed one of us and asked for a t-shirt from us, we will personally sign it and mail it to you.
We've had a couple people write nice things about us on iTunes.
And Twittergram. Yeah, right on iTunes. More people
Follow us at Buttcast. Follow me at Fosh Jorbs. Follow Jesse at Jesse Cloyd. And the thing is, too, a lot of these people, it's not going to happen this week. It's going to be 2 years in the future.
Yeah.
And they'll be listening to this old episode, and they'll go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, okay. I hope we made your night of stocking shelves more interesting.
Indeed. Adios.